Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I thought that would be a good, that's what Paul did. When he talked and wrote this letter to the Ephesians, that's how he started out. And I think it's very good. And actually, I looked at most of his writings, of his epistles, and he started all of them that I looked at, the majority of them, at least, that's the way he started. Some of them, he's addressed them and in the context of being a servant of Jesus Christ. But so, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1 for our reading today. And I know I've spoke from this before, but I read this several months ago in my reading, and it just, again, struck me. And always when I see the way that Paul describes and God and the kingdom of God and the glorious salvation and the way that God made all that come together, the words he uses, it's uplifting, it's upbuilding, it's encouraging, and it's so descriptive of who God is in human terms. And so I was encouraged as I read that, and I've looked over different times, and I even then decided I think that might be the next sermon. And so, as I looked into it more, I became more encouraged with it. And this epistle, the epistle of Ephesians, is the theme throughout is mainly unity of believers. And we've talked about that. I heard that this morning in our Sunday school in the different ones of you that spoke. And so it is, and Dale just alluded to that, the importance of relationships, and that's really what a lot of this pertains to. And so I hope that we can be encouraged and we can also learn. And it's a learning process, I think, as we go through life, to learn how much I need you. In our world today, the idea is that I can live my life, I can do what I want to do, and I don't really need your help, unless it's money. You know, always people, you can't go anywhere. Couldn't even last night, couldn't even go to the grocery store without somebody needing some money. And so, but we do, we need each other, and especially as believers, because we become Christians, and we are a part of a body, we need each other more, and we have that opportunity. And Paul talks about that, how we should use those opportunities and not let them go to waste, but to help out and to reach out and to be open and to look about to see the opportunities that are out there. And so I've titled this, The Spiritual Blessings for All Believers. And before I forget, Scott, if we would, if you would lead 732 in faith and praise as our closing song. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but we're not going to make it through that chapter, obviously. And so we're going to concentrate on the first six verses if we can. But it's very, very good words here to encourage us. So let's read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth. Addresses this. He's addressing the church, the saints. And so I think we could today, as a people, as a Christian, whether you're a member here, a visitor, it doesn't matter. You're here today, and so you're included. And I think Paul would say, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at New Holland, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I think we need to make this personal. It was written to a certain people, and it's believed it could have been to a number of different churches, but you and I will not benefit from it unless we accept it as our own and to us. And so they're beautiful words that he writes to them to encourage them, because there were some issues among the Ephesian church, I understand. There was some separation between the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews were with standing aloof from the Gentiles. Unity. And so Paul is encouraging them and telling them that look at the big picture. You all professing to be Christians, we all are benefiting from the salvation that Jesus has provided for us through God the Father. And so the focus is on the church, the people at that point, and in verse 2 as well. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that some, but in looking at this, my understanding from what I've found is that from verses 3 through 14, in the Greek, it is one sentence. It continues on. So if you read through this, I kept looking down for a break, and it's like, where can I break this? Well, there is a period after in verse 6, but it still is a continuation of the picture that Paul is drawing. And then it goes on down to verse 12, really, before there's another, and yet it's not really a break, but it is. It does make sense that this is, it would be, in the original would have been one sentence, a continuation of what Paul was trying to relate. But we look at verses 3 through 6. It's Paul speaking of the blessings that we have through the Father. So he's talking about what God has done in providing for us through his Son. And then in verses 7 through 12, it's the blessings that come through the Son, what Jesus actually did. And then verses 13 and 14 are the blessings through the Holy Spirit. Remember that as you read it. Just keep that in your mind. We're not going to get there, and by the time if I ever do this again, you'll have forgotten anyway. But in your own studies, just sort of, it's interesting to see how I'm not that smart. I don't see those things, but other people do, and they point them out, and it is helpful to see how that things break down and how the writers describe it to certain people and from a different angle. And so this kind of preaching is called expository preaching. And I tried to think of that word this morning, and it didn't. I couldn't think of it. What? All I could think of was suppository. And I said, I don't think that's right. I know it isn't, because I knew what that was. But I racked my brain and finally asked my wife. I said, what do you call this when you describe verse by verse and expository? Okay, now that makes sense. Because I've heard educated and people that know, they talk about that. So I knew it had to be something different than what I was thinking. So anyway, I know it can be, this kind of preaching can be boring. Somewhat, when you go verse by verse. But hopefully, I don't have much time, so I'll have to go fast. Okay, in verse 2, let's go back. Let's talk about grace and peace. Very important and very, it's something we talk about a lot. In fact, I heard that, Dale talked about it. I've heard those words this morning numerous times. Grace and peace, they are very high on the list of priority as Christians and importance as we understand who we are in light of God and his holiness and righteousness, that God extends to us grace and peace. And it's something that we all need and strive for and desire. Grace is simply the biblical term that we always seem that we, all of Hebrews talks about that. It's the unmerited favor of God or undeserved favor. Don't all of us fit that category? We do. And then peace is simply harmony, serenity, calm, and quiet. Something we all strive for and the world is looking for and wants and works toward, and yet they don't know how to do it. Without Jesus Christ in our lives, there is no peace and rest. There is no calmness, and so on. And even within us as Christians, sometimes we, because of our circumstances and the things we face, and just life in general, we can lose that peace if we're not careful. As Dale said, as a relationship go haywire this way, it affects our relationship with God. And so then our peace becomes blurred as such. And so grace and peace as he extended. And what a better way to address people is to wish them grace and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How do you describe all this, what he's trying to tell us? This has come from God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, of us and everything we have and see. And he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So what's he talking about? What are some of those spiritual blessings? I jotted down seven. There's probably more, but so I'm going to go through them fairly rapidly. The first one is an everlasting name. In Isaiah 56:5, it says, "Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Again, talking about the people of Israel and so on. So we have a blessing we receive as from God through Jesus Christ is we have an everlasting name. God remembers your name. Your name is important. Okay. The second one is spiritual knowledge. Jeremiah 24:7, "And I will give them a heart to know me, and that I am the Lord, and that they shall be my people. I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." So again, a great blessing we have. We have the ability to learn. We can gain spiritual knowledge, and we need to. Number three is a new heart, Ezekiel 11:19. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." What a beautiful picture of a caring God. A people that didn't want to follow or obey. Not only the children of Israel back then, but the chosen people, but you and I as well. We find ourselves there in God's light, looking down on us, on people that name the name of Christ. How often does he say, "When are they going to allow me to give them a heart that they'll love him and serve him?" We fall into those traps. But he said, "Because I love you, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, one that can not only receive love, but can give love, and one that will know me as God." Number four, we also a spiritual blessing is spiritual rest. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "An invitation, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a refreshing promise and a refreshing invitation to come. You know, as we do life, we get tired. There's a lot of things that we face and decisions and in whatever. Sometimes it's in things we go through. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's in disease or whatever. Jesus' invitation is come. Come to me. In the midst of all this, come to me. I will give you rest. Beautiful, refreshing words. Number five, the Holy Spirit is again a spiritual blessing that we have. Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Again, what a wonderful promise that Jesus gave. He said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send a comforter, so that he will guide you into all truth." What a beautiful promise. And number six is eternal life. John 10:28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Again, the ultimate promise that Jesus, from the foundation of the world, we will see sometime, maybe not today, of what God ordained and foreordained for us today in 2023 and for those in 20 50 if the world remains, until the end of time. God has promised unto those that want to receive him eternal life. It doesn't end, it doesn't just start here and it doesn't end here, but it continues on. It starts here in this life, and eternal life continues on into eternity. Number 7 is a spiritual crown, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What a beautiful picture. Not being in prison, not being, not having to suffer. That's not a beautiful picture. But through that, some of us will never have to go to prison for our faith. Maybe none of us. Maybe some of us will. I don't know. There are people today in our world, that's where they are. They're imprisoned for their faith. They're suffering because of their faith in Jesus. But Jesus says, be faithful to the end. Don't give up. Even though we're tempted, don't give up. Because I have something for you. You know, we're like children. When you tell your child you have something for them, their ears are attentive, wide open, and they're just waiting. What do you have? It's the way we should be. Jesus has something for us. It's a crown of life. I don't know what it looks like, but it's going to be nice. I'm sure of that. It'll be beautiful. I don't know if my time's right or that time. I should go by my time, I believe. I didn't coincide with this one up here. I know there used to be a difference, so I guess we'll split the difference. I still have 9 minutes. Can't quite see that. But anyway, a few more minutes. I'll try not to let the chicken burn. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Again, Paul's focus is on God. This is what God has done and is doing. So bless God for what he's doing. I believe sometimes we, and I have, and I still do, and I've noticed when other people do. Sometimes when we pray or we say things, you know, who do you mention? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Or the Holy Spirit? And so for some things, it's like, well, that's God. So you would address God. Other things, you would address Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Does it matter? No, I don't think it's a big deal. But I think of that when I do it, and I think of when other people do. Sometimes it's like, oh, that should have been Jesus or should have been God. But they're all the same. We recognize that, and yet they do have three different parts, but work, I guess. All the same and yet different to a degree. So God is over all, God is in all, and Jesus was coming as a person to this world is the only separation I can see between in the Godhead from Jesus not being God or addressed as God. Jesus was always God and always was, but anyway, I don't know why I went there, but let's go on. Jesus' relation to God the Father is unique in the sense that, you know, Jesus coming to this earth was born as a man, like you and I. And yet he was still God. How do you figure that out? I don't know. But he had a a unique relationship with his Father, because he often addressed, "My Father and I are one. And I only say and do the things that the Father tells me to do." So there was a close relationship between Jesus and his Father in heaven. And then I like how Jesus included, and there I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but how Jesus included us. He included his disciples. The first time I think that he related to the disciples as brethren that I can see is in, and it may be in some of the other Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I'm not sure. But I have this in John 20:17. After the resurrection, he saw Mary, and he told her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." My understanding is it's the first time that he addressed them as brethren. He included them into that family, and he did it numerous times afterward. And so, you and I as well, you know, and again, I'm getting ahead of, that's the next 4 and 5 talks about that, and the adoption and being chosen and so on, and I'm not going to get into that today. But I just want us to appreciate our position that we have because of God and through the work that Jesus did in fulfilling the foreordained plan that God had for mankind from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. So it's before God created anything. God had this all in mind. God knew. And that's a story, another story in itself, bigger than I am. But anyway, if I don't forget, and I probably will, we might continue this another day, Lord willing. So, let me just leave you with verse 6. The Holman Christian Standard Bible translates this, "To the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved." So, you are beloved as a Christian. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again for your word. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for who you are and all that you have done for us. You have been gracious, you've been kind, and you are good, and we thank you. God, we don't deserve anything from your hand, but we acknowledge that all the good things we receive are from you, and so thank you today. And I pray that you would just bless your people everywhere today, those that are in prison and those that are suffering and those that are having to flee for their lives for safety because of your name. I pray, God, help them today. Deliver them and give them what they need. Help them to be faithful to you to the end so that they can receive that crown of life that you have saved for them and prepared for them. Thank you for each one of us. Bless each of these folks here today. I ask you, God, to help them and to fill them and to care for them, regardless of what the need is or their situation or their decision that they need to make. God, help them to rest in the fact that you already are there to help them and that you care. So God, may you bless us as we part and direct our ways that they might bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. 7:32 in the Faith and Praise, and you can stand as you sing.